Varies by vehicle model year, model, trim level, packaging, and options. Automatic emergency braking cannot prevent all collisions and may not provide warning or braking in all conditions. Drivers should monitor traffic conditions and brake as needed to prevent collisions. See owner's manual for safety information. $17,990 starting MSRP excludes tax, title, license, and destination charge. Dealer sets actual price.
You're listening to 1440 KVON, the voice of Napa Valley. Here's your host, Barry Martin.
7:34 now. We're back on the KVON Morning Show. It is Monday, the 22nd of October. And before we get back into the show, let's check up on the markets and traffic for you. Dow Jones is off about 0.4 of a percentage point currently in the first hour of trading, down 105 points. The S&P is off 0.4. The NASDAQ is essentially flat, up just a little bit right now. On the traffic beat, we have this Burndale Road accident. This is Carneros Highway at Burndale, and they're talking about a SIG alert and some significant delays in that route between Napa and Sonoma. So if you can find yourself an alternate, you're going to want to today. Again, that's an accident, 121 at Burndale, and they've got roadway blocked, apparently. I believe that's both directions currently. Elsewhere in the traffic files, hit-and-run non-injury accident working Pittman Road at Central in Solano County. Traffic collision Old Redwood Highway at Limerick Lane in Santa Rosa. Westbound 37 at Mare Island now an accident in Solano County. And those are the top items we're tracking for you. Looks like one-way traffic controls is the latest word on that 121 at Burndale problem. So you're going to take a long time to get through there this morning. Weather forecast next, and what we see is a little bit of morning fog that will be followed by afternoon sun. We're currently at 50 degrees at the Napa County Airport. The predicted high for Napa today, 74, and we'll stay in the low to mid-70s through Wednesday, then a little warmer Thursday and Friday, back to the low 80s by the weekend. And that is your KVON forecast. You're up to date on weather, traffic, and the markets at 7:36. In the next segment ahead, we're going to kick off our second round of live Napa City Council candidate segments here on the morning show. We did an hour-long candidate profile series a few weeks back, met each of the candidates, gave them a lot of time to lay out their positions. This time around, we're doing half-hour segments coming up in the 8 o'clock time frame. We have Ricky Hurtado joining us for his shot. And tomorrow, 7:30 and 8 o'clock slots, same deal on Wednesday. Chance to hear each candidate individually and some specific questions. This segment, we're starting off the series with James Hinton, candidate for Napa City Council, who joins us here in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Barry. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. Why don't we start this by giving you a moment to introduce yourself to anybody listening who doesn't know who you are, what you're about, and why you're running for Napa City Council.
I'm James Hinton, a 44-year-old, lifelong resident here in Napa. Grew up here. I'm a regular at our city council and board of supervisor meetings, as well as go to a lot of school board meetings and other meetings out there. I like to follow and see what's going along. I'm running for city council because I believe we can do so much better than what we're getting right now. I think our city council is asleep at the wheel. They are rubber stamping basically everything that comes out, and they've gotten us into a lot of sticky situations. Right now, we are in a situation where legendary restaurants are closing across the valley because they can't get service workers. Meanwhile, Visit Napa Valley is taking $10 million this year. And I think we can start making a lot of changes at the local level to improve the quality of living here in Napa. I'm committed to protecting public health as well as our environment. Those are my top issues. And fiscal responsibility goes without saying.
All right, let's get into some specifics. A lot of people are focused, rightly so, on the housing question, and you brought that up in your intro in talking about restaurants struggling to employ people. In part, that's because of the housing crisis. In your view, what are the answers to the housing problem we have in Napa?
High-density, small-footprint homes, apartments. You got me saying homes, listening to you coming in here, but you know, a home is a place where you live, and there's a lot of us, like me, I'm a single guy. I would like a 500-square-foot place where it's dog-friendly. You know, Napa is full of wonderful parks. We've got a vibrant downtown. So there's plenty to do in Napa. You don't need a 2,000 square foot house to roam around in anymore. So I'd like to see these smaller footprint, high density units that can be more affordable.
Mm-hmm. And built by developers for market rate housing?
We need to start funding a lot of affordable housing, low income housing, workforce housing, and farm worker housing projects.
The city needs to be funding those.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Using funds from what source?
From all the sources that are available. Sources from the feds, sources from the state. The opportunity to tax our guests that are here. You know, right now we're collecting 14% in bed taxes, which is 12% is the TOT, the transient occupancy tax, and 2% is the TID. That goes to the Tourism Improvement District. Now, the Tourism Improvement District, it might have seemed like a good idea in 2010 when Bill Dodd, Mark Luce, Keith Caldwell, Brad Wagenknecht, and Diane Dillon voted this in on us. And the problem with this is they're looking at collecting over at Visit Napa Valley about $10 million this year from this tax. So in the next 5 years, that's another $50 million that's going to leave our community, and it's going to basically, it's going to get wasted. And if we looked at terminating that district and replacing it with more TOT, where the city of Napa, that would mean probably $4 million a year into our coffers. That $4 million a year, we could start applying to address the workforce housing situation that we need. We can look at terminating the Civic Center project. This is another subject we might talk about in a minute, but if we do a different Civic Center project, if we were to find a different developer and look at a different site, for example, the old Safeway project on Jefferson Street, we look at that site, we buy it, we start building a new city hall, police station, whatever we need over there. Now, as all our other city properties become available, we can go piece by piece and start addressing what we need. We can find a developer that can build low-income housing on this block, if that's what we need. And we can go piece by piece and address our problems as they go. But you know, there's so many properties that the city has. They use them, you know, for a variety of reasons. Some are being, you could say, are going towards its highest use. Some are not. Some are just storing vehicles that don't go anywhere and so forth. So,
all right, let's focus in for a moment on this Visit Napa Valley topic. There's a lot of people in the industry and the lodging industry supported Visit Napa Valley as this additional sum of money was being added mm-hmm. on to their guests' bills, right? And when we travel, we all pay these when we go to various places. They're higher in the most desirable places typically. So the lodging industry supported this. Tourism in general, the industry supported the idea that there needed to be more marketing of tourism to Napa Valley. Most people would suggest that it's been successful, that the numbers show occupancy rates, the rates people are paying in hotels, and that's generated money back into all the municipalities because of the TOT. Wouldn't you agree that promotion of tourism has been successful in creating jobs and a healthy, clean industry that tourism is?
Well, the tourism, it's a private. They should be, if the hotels want to promote themselves, they have every right to do in the free market. They can hire Clay Gregory or anybody they want to run the advertisements to promote them. And then they would be able to do whatever they'd like to do. But right now, the founding fathers of the tourism district, they put in there some oversight that said they can only use 12.5% of the fund for salaries. And right now, they're using like 38% of it. So the head guy, he's making, just from this one agency, $260,000 in 2016, plus a $100,000 bonus. And this is so he can fly first class around the world. He does about 8 wine or tourism junkets a year internationally, where he'll go to China, he'll go to Europe, he'll go to Costa Rica, Canada. He'll do domestic flights to New York, Hawaii, Las Vegas, and other popular destinations. And the reason why everybody's coming to downtown Napa is because we have world-class restaurants. We're building hotels. We have developers making Napa a really nice place to visit. That's why everybody's coming. Why did anybody come to Napa in 2009, 2008, 2007, 2006? We had tourism back there. We didn't have big hotels back then like the Andaz, the Archer, the Westin, and all these wonderful high-end places to stay. Because we built high-end hotels, we now have more people staying downtown Napa. That's why it is. It has nothing to do with Visit Napa Valley. It's like the rooster taking credit for the sun coming up. Sure, you were there when you crowed, but you had very little to do with the sun rising.
Yeah, some people would suggest that, you know, a story in the New York Times, for example, the travel section of the New York Times.
Those cost $180,000 to run. Mm-hmm. Visit Napa Valley gives the New York Times, gives the New Yorker, they'll do about $160,000 to $180,000. You can come to these meetings. The Napa County Tourism Improvement District, they have a meeting, and it's Alfredo Pedroza, Molly Radigan, and some of these hotel people. And I was up there in St. Helena earlier this year watching it, and they were sitting around the table, and they were asking the county, Visit Napa Valley was asking the county for another $700,000 that they thought about giving to the Vine Trail. They wanted it instead to fulfill some marketing dreams. They wanted to advertise to, there was two New York magazines. One was the New Yorker, and the other could have been the New York Times or something like that. And they pay $160,000 to $180,000 to get fictional or non-fictional goodwill stories about the Napa Valley. They'll either come here, they'll run around and visit and write up good stories, or they'll write fictional stories. But Visit Napa Valley spends $180,000 for these stories.
Right. My point was, don't you think that kind of exposure in a publication like the New York Times generates interest in coming to Napa Valley, which turns into dollars spent in local businesses and jobs for people who live here?
I think in 1973, right before I was born, when Chateau Montelena and Stag's Leap took down the stuff in France with the wine awards, that's what put Napa on the map. And that's why people want to come to the Napa Valley, because we have the best wine in the world, we have some of the finest chefs in the world, and it's a beautiful place to visit. And it was beautiful before Visit Napa Valley was brought in. And this has just turned in to be a slush fund. There is no oversight on this money.
1976, actually, for the Paris Tasting.
Okay, apologize for that.
That's all right. Fact-based.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Of course. Let's turn our attention to some different topics here for a second. You have certainly had some things happen during your campaign that I have never seen happen with a city council candidate. I've been following council elections since 1986. That was my first year.
Fill me in. What's
Napa.
Happened?
Okay. Well, the first most notable thing I would bring up would be the Facebook string that developed a few days ago off of the post by Peter Mott,
right,
who, of course, is the incumbent in this race, and you're one of the five challengers for his seat. He made a post that essentially said, there are a lot of good people in this race, but there's one person I encourage you not to vote for, and he named you as that person.
Yeah.
You then engaged in that string of posts, and a lot of other people did as well. First of all, how did you react? What was your thought when you saw that post, and why did you choose to take part
in
it from there?
I figured I must be winning because they're getting nervous and they're behaving like this. Why is the incumbent, who's been ignoring me for 5 years when I sit in the front row at the council meetings, all of a sudden nervous? Why didn't they do this when I was running against Mark Luce and Ryan Gregory? I wasn't a threat back then. I only got 8%, 6%, 10, whatever it was of the vote, okay? They must now see me as a real threat, and they're getting nervous for some reason. I don't know why, but for some reason they are. So rather than talking about my platform, they're making baseless attacks on me. And why is Peter Mott doing that? I don't know. But what triggered it is a couple days before that, I open my mail, and he sends me a mailer, and I look. There's three pictures of Napa Ice, and it says, Peter Mott is the founder of Napa Ice. Napa Ice is a great place for to bring your family. Come down to Napa Ice between November and February. I'm Peter Mott, your council member. Now, for the record, Peter Mott makes money when somebody goes to Napa Ice. That's a for-profit enterprise that he owns. So when people go there, he's making money. And it seems like he's using his campaign funds instead of to run a campaign to talk about the issues facing Napa, like the Civic Center. He's using it to tell people, hey, in November, which is next month, just around the corner, Napa Ice is going to be open, and it's a great place to visit with your family. And so I just wanted people to understand that Peter Mott is not going to fix our problems. Peter Mott is our problem. We need people on the council that are going to pay attention to the people's business and put that first, not their ice rink. Okay, he's got ice rinks now in three different cities. He's got one in San Rafael and one in the South Bay. He spends his days selling windows in San Francisco and whatever else he's doing. We need people who are in tune with what's going on in Napa that are available to talk to the people in Napa and represent the people in Napa.
Okay.
So this thread, you know, I just didn't want to allow people to slander me and not say anything. Mm-hmm. There's people that are blocked on Facebook. I have no idea what they're saying, but I'm getting messages all the time about this. Mm-hmm. And if you look at what I replied, is I kept asking questions about the Civic Center. Peter Mott can look at that thread. He is not answering any of the questions I'm asking about the Civic Center on that thread. And this election is about the Civic Center. It's not about, do I live with my mom? Yes, I do. Does that matter? No, it doesn't. Whether or not I live with my mom is not going to bankrupt this city of Napa. If we build that Civic Center, we could go bankrupt. That's a fact everybody knows. The police department knows it. Almost everybody in the council race knows it. And these are the real issues. How do you feel about the post, Barry?
Well, I was going to follow up, and it's not really a question of what I feel about it. The other point that I was going to bring up is that in this fabulous string of comments that goes on and on and includes a lot of people I don't know, up pops your own brother, who is literally attacking your candidacy on this Facebook post. That's another of those examples of situation I've never seen in a Napa City Council
brother,
race.
Yeah, my brother, I would say, has some kind of unidentified form of mental illness. He seems to be extremely jealous or upset about something. He's some person that I've had to block from Facebook. He continues to slander me, and he'll continually mislead people about my employment and so many other things. I understand he's telling people now that I'm using my campaign money to make car payments or something like that, which is completely false. And I don't even want to talk about this because there's a lot of people from Napa High that are upset because the Indian mascot got changed, and they're coming at me right now with slander. That's all it is. We have a seriously important race with seriously important issues. Why Peter Mott and all these other people are doing this, I don't know. I thought it was interesting how the Napa Register came out with their editorial yesterday on top of all
that
this.
That was my next question.
You know what I think would be great is if you invited Mr. Sean Scully and anybody else from the editorial board to sit down here. There's another microphone. There's another chair right here. And let's me and Sean Scully talk about my platform, and let's talk about the issues that, you know, if you read their article, it says, oh, my God, our conversation with James was so crazy. We can't tell you it was too crazy, so just trust us. Don't vote for him. And I got a lot of messages from this right away.
Yeah.
People are sending out their.
Mm-hmm. This is another example, as I was saying, of things that have never happened in a council race before. There's never been a moment when the Napa Valley Register basically said, all these five people would be okay, but this one person we say you should not vote for.
Yeah, you know, it's the Napa Register has just covered up a lot of stories. We've had a five-year run at it since I started running for Congress. I have had so many letters rejected by Sean Scully for print. You know, I go to every city council meeting. They never discuss my comments that are made there. They're covered a lot by the county. Barry Eberling reports well. And it's just the Napa Register, like I said, let's have them Have them come down here to the microphone and speak for themselves. Yeah, They're making baseless attacks.
Sean's been on the show a number of times. He probably will again.
Come on, Sean. If you're listening, this is James Hinton. Sean, come down. Let's talk about this race right now. Let's get on the air and let's have a non-biased moderator like Barry Martin talk about this, Sean.
Let me jump back for a second because you referenced that editorial saying that during the interview with the editorial board that you, for lack of a better term, paraphrasing, went off on tangents or brought up other topics. That's sort of what that editorial says, right? An example of that might have been called out in the event down at Silos when we had the candidate forum. Mm-hmm. And sort of out of the blue, you started talking about psilocybin mushrooms.
Oh, that wasn't
treatment
out of the blue.
Well, I think it would be for a lot of people following a city council race.
True.
City council does not have a mental health division. They don't have any kind of a health division at all.
And, true.
You know, the administration of chemicals to the homeless population is not really something the city does. That's why a person might look at that and say, sometimes James is not on task, not on the subject.
Well, we've been talking about the homeless issue at the other debates leading up, and we've already talked about homeless several times. And I said that I agreed with some of the other speakers, like Peter Mott, when he said, you know, you can't just build yourself out of this mess. There's some people that don't want to live in a house. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, there are some people that want to live in a house. There are some of the homeless people have mental illnesses, and you cannot continue to throw prescription drugs and chemicals at those mental illnesses and hoping you're going to solve it. It hasn't happened. There is research that shows how magic mushrooms can help people who are homeless, suicidal, living on the street, by microdosing it, become productive human beings again. And maybe it's not going to get solved from the dais of the city council, but as the city of Napa, as the nation or whatever, we can look at having those conversations to solve it. Maybe the city council can't solve homelessness, but maybe this plant, this mushroom, maybe can help a portion of the people in our community that are mentally ill that find themselves homeless because the prescription drugs is not working.
Let's come back to something else that you brought up.
Did you notice how right after that, a couple of days later, it was all over the news that there was studies from the CDC backing that up?
I had actually read that before that council event.
Well,
it's been
it
a story in the
so,
news
but
for
it
some
came
time.
Came out right again in the news wire after.
Exactly.
It. So it was
yes.
good timing for me.
Okay. Let's come back for a second to your proposal that the Civic Center or New City Hall project could bankrupt the city. What's your basis for that claim?
Well, if you start a project and it's $121 million plus interest, and it goes even higher, let's just say, to $200 million, okay? Now you're responsible to make payments. Those payments add up, and they're planning on taking the money from the TOT, which is surely dependent on tourism and everything else. And so when you go and invest $121 million into a new city hall, you have to pay for it at the end of the day.
So have you had some analysis done on revenue streams and what would be available?
Do you understand this the project, how they're going to pay for it when it started?
I understand, yeah.
So
I do
when
understand
it was introduced to us, it was a $46 million project with $43 million of interest. And they told us by having a 275 boutique hotel room on the current block, it's known as the super block where the police station and the city hall is. The TOT from those 275 boutique hotel rooms will pay the $46 million plus $43 million in interest over 30 years. They showed it on a chart, $89 million from these boom, 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 boom. They have no developer for the hotel yet. The project has tripled. The scope of the hotel has dwindled. So how can you have triple the price of the hotel, of the Civic Center, from $40 million to $120 million, with no revenue to come in? You were supposed to get some coming in from 275 rooms. Now you don't have a developer, and when you do get one, it's going to be less than 275 rooms. Mm-hmm. So you tell me how do you pay for it?
Yeah, I understand. Barry. I understand what you're looking at. Other than just describing that it might not come together the way it's planned, which would mean it wouldn't go forward.
The city of Long Beach started a contract similar to this with the same group in 2005 to build a new civic center down in Long Beach. It's almost done. It's 2018, 13 years later. They're almost done with the project. So when they haven't even shown they can build one of these things in a reasonable amount of time, do you want to see plenary building on First Street for the next 13 years?
I don't have a dog in this fight, so it's not my opinion that matters.
They introduced a project where they had a plan to pay for it, and I've just expressed that plan. Now, since that plan, the project cost has tripled. The hotel has not tripled to pay for it.
All right.
Therefore, it's not financially feasible. Mm-hmm. There are studies out there.
So your concern is that the financial plan
doesn't... Would you like me to come back on an episode next week with the financial feasibility studies to go over?
We're thinking about doing a second round next week if it works out.
I will love it. I'll bring in the financial feasibility studies on the Civic Center to go over them.
It's important.
It'll be boring on the radio, but we'll talk about it.
A lot of things that are important are boring.
Exactly.
We're out of time for now. Thanks for coming in today and kicking off our series for this week with council candidates one-on-one. James Hinton has been our guest. How can people find out more about your campaign?
Well, you can check out my lively Facebook page, James Hinton. You can visit my web page, votehinton.com. There are some TV commercials out there and so forth you can catch. My email is there on my website. There's a phone number to get a hold of me as well. I'm easy to get a hold of if you want to talk to me, if you want to support me. Let me know. Please reach out. We've got 15 days to go. There are a lot of really important subjects facing us, and I'd be glad to talk to all of you about that.
Very good. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Barry.
Time now, 8:01. News up next.
At Redwood Credit Union, we deliver banking that helps you focus on today and plan for tomorrow. Because achieving success takes working together. So we offer solutions to make your life easier, like free checking with rewards, affordable loans and credit cards, and convenient anytime access. It's banking with great value, from here for you. Because this community is our home, too. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Napa County Sheriff's Public Information Officer Henry Wolford. You're listening to KVON Napa.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, October 22nd, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The Trump administration moves to narrow the definition